Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
If you need a Bible, we'll be in Ephesians 6. We have some awesome people serving this morning. Just put your hand up, they'll bring you one. And make your way to Ephesians chapter 6. If you've been here through the Ephesians series, you might expect today would be on husbands, wives, marriage, submission, headship, and all that. And you'll be as happy as I was to learn that Pastor Dave will be handling that next week instead of me. So we're going to skip over that into chapter 6 today as you turn there. 8 years ago, I think it was, we took some high schoolers to Kentucky to see the Ark Encounter, the Creation Museum. Some Valley Christian 8th graders were just there this week, actually, so that's cool timing. And if you've made that drive, you know it's about 9-10 hours of driving, not counting stops, and there's not much to see on the way there. But there isn't much that'll test your Christianity quite like a road trip. You're like 4 hours in, and you're just kind of rethinking your whole life at that point. In my case, with a van full of high schoolers, the van smells like Doritos at that point. It smells like an unlaundered hoodie that someone threw on, panicking because they woke up late. Someone's needing to use the bathroom even though you just stopped 30 minutes ago, and now you're surrounded by orange barrels in a traffic jam. You have someone in the back of the van with sounds and smells coming from their digestive system that no human should be able to make. Someone forgot deodorant. Someone wore too much deodorant. Someone keeps changing the radio every 30 seconds, and you're kind of losing your mind, right? What is it that makes you stay in that van? What is it that makes you from making that extra bathroom stop when they get out, just peeling out and leaving them there, right? What is the thing that keeps you with those people? Hopefully, it's love. One of the interesting ironies of life is that the people who drive us the craziest are often the ones we love the most, the ones we spend the most time with by our own choice, right? In Ephesians 5, Paul has instructed us to be imitators of God, to walk in love, to be filled with the Spirit, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Why? Because of the first three chapters. Because God has made you alive with Christ by grace through faith. He has made you to begin experiencing how deep and wide Christ's love is. And so, as you get past chapter 3 and you get to the application of Ephesians, you see that it is God's love working in us, touching and transforming every part of our life through his Holy Spirit in us. And so now, in Ephesians 6, at the start here, Paul specifically wants us to show us how this looks in household settings and household relationships, the closest relationships many of us have, relationships which often cause us the most frustration or even bitterness, the relationships that often make our old flesh come back out of the grave and make an unwelcome appearance. What Paul wants us to know is that it's love for Jesus and learning to love one another for Jesus' sake that marks out your homes in ways that will increase your joy and set you apart from the world. So I want to invite Lance over to read the scripture this morning. If you're able, would you please stand out of reverence for God's word?
Good morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. The reading of the gospel.
Thank you. So hopefully you all saw and followed along as Lance read for us. Can somebody tell me the first word in verse 1 of chapter 6? Children. Right? It begins with the word children. It's the Greek word techna, which is a broad term, which just means offspring. But contextually, for example, in verse 4, we can see that Paul is talking to us about children who are in the home. Children still being brought up, raised up, who are still growing up. We might call them not yet adults. And so we get to do something today we don't often get to do in our time together on Sunday morning, which is talk directly to the kids in the room. Just a show of hands, how many kids do we have in the room? I know there's quite a few. Praise God. That's awesome. So you guys listen up. So, young people, the Bible has two commands for you this morning in Ephesians 6 as ways for you to be imitators of God, for you to walk in love, for ways for you to honor the Lord Jesus. And they are, number one, obey your parents. Ugh. Number two, honor your father and mother. And all the parents in the room said, amen. Amen. But not, sister, not too loud. We're up next, all right? We're in the next section, so. Children, obey your parents, verse 1 says. The word obey there means follow instructions or submit to, be subject to the authority of another. And it's not just a blank check of obeying your parents. Don't just do whatever your parents say all the time, no matter what. We are to obey your parents in the Lord. And so one thing this means, kids, is that when your parents tell you to do something that honors God, when your parents tell you to do something that God has commanded them to tell you, to pass on as his messenger, then it is right for you to obey. And by extension, you are obeying God through his messengers, your parents. Okay? So in the Lord, in one sense, means if you obey your parents in the Lord, in one sense, you're obeying God when they command you to do something right and you do it. Okay? And so if your parents love God and they love you, and for example, they want you to be home on time. They want you to be doing the dishes after dinner. Or they want you to make your bed to help you learn how to be responsible. That's a good thing. And God is delighted when you obey. God smiles from heaven on your obedience when you do right things that your parents command. Did you know that God loves when you make your bed? It's kind of weird to think about, but if you think about it this way, if all things belong to God, then whose bed is that really? It's God's bed. And so you're not just making your bed. You're making God's bed that he lets you sleep in. And so you're making it for him in that sense. There's kind of a cheesy quote from a gal who wrote a commentary on Ephesians, but I think it drives home this point. She's talking to children. She says, that bed you have to make is no ordinary bed. It's a bed belonging to the great king of all the universe. He sent word by two of his other servants, you call them mom and dad, to ask you to make it. And he notices and is pleased when you do it. It can be difficult to make the bed every day, but it's one way you take up your valuable role in God's kingdom and honor its king. It's pretty cool, isn't it? So let me ask a question to the kids. Does obeying your parents in the Lord mean do everything they say no matter what? No. You guys are on it, front row. I love you guys. Even though there was some disagreement on the answer there. The answer is no. You don't just do whatever your parents say all the time, no matter what. Right? Obey them in the Lord. That means, the second thing, that means there's a limit to what you tell your parents yes to. If your parents tell you to steal, if your parents tell you to worship another god, if your parents tell you to lie, then you must listen to God above your parents. Obey them in the Lord, but when they are not acting in the Lord, you obey the Lord directly, right? So, if mom and dad are trying their best to love Jesus and love you, then do what they say. Obey them. The Bible says obeying your parents is right. Mom and dad are hardwired by God and required by law to take care of you. So it is right for you to obey. That's the first command. Obey your parents in the Lord. Second command in verse 2, children. Honor your father and mother, which is one of the 10 commandments. I have been a professional Christian for a little over 10 years, and I was 3 weeks ago years old when I learned how to memorize the Ten Commandments. So if you haven't yet, there's a lot of grace in this room right now. But it's one of the Ten Commandments, and so if I can pause and take a left turn, I want to share a cool thing I learned. And maybe you all know this, and I'm the only one who doesn't. But You can memorize the Ten Commandments. We're going to look at the fifth one in a little bit, but here's how you can remember the Ten Commandments. And all you need is your ten fingers. All right, so we can have group participation here. Everybody hold up the number one and say, one God. First commandment, there is one God. There are no other gods before him. Do not worship other gods. There's one God. Hold up a second finger. Turn it sideways. Cut out the idols in your life. Do not make images. Do not bow down to other things. Cut them out. Third commandment, put them together. Cover your mouth. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Fourth commandment, make a pillow. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Rest. Fifth commandment, one we're on today, put your fingers together. Honor your father and mother. Sixth commandment, parents, save your emails. Sixth commandment, I learned this from someone else, do not murder. And which Jesus expanded to being angry with your brother, right? Do not murder. Seventh commandment, 2 and 5, marriage is between two people, not five. Do not commit adultery. Eighth commandment, put up all 10 fingers, hide your thumbs, because in some countries, if you steal, they'll cut off your thumbs. Eighth commandment, do not steal. Ninth commandment, do not bear false witness. 5 is not 4. 4 is not 5. Don't get them confused. Don't say they are the same. They're not the same. Do not bear false witness. And the 10th commandment, don't covet. Don't be wanting what other people have. Easy? Easy. So, kids, pop quiz. Which commandment did Paul cite here? In honor your father and mother. Number 5, right? Honor your father and mother. And this command has a promise attached to it in that it brings God's blessing, verse 3 says, that it may go well with you, which is not a blank check for $1 bazillion. It is not a promise that you will never get the sniffles again. It's like being on a sports team and saying, if I told you, hey, honor your coach. If you listen to your coach, if you run the plays your coach calls, if you do the job on the field they've given you to do, if you treat their coaching with honor and with seriousness, it'll probably go well for you on the team, wouldn't you say? And so to say the opposite, if you ignore or dishonor, or say your coach is dumb and take my phone away, if you dishonor your coach, your experience on the team will not go well for you. Okay, that's the promise here. And the word honor your father and mother. Honor means to show high regard for or to value highly. And there's lots of ways you can do this. Just ask your parents. They'll give you a list, I'm sure. But can I challenge you one way to honor your parents today? You can do it before you leave the room. You can do it before you eat lunch today. You can do this one today. And let me just encourage you, honor your parents with your words sometime today. The easiest way maybe to honor your parents is just to say thank you when you recognize that they've done something to help you or take care of you. How many parents, and keep your hands down, but how many parents are starving for a single thank you from your kids? You might even make your parents' whole day just by telling them one way that you're grateful for how they've cared for and provided for you. And even if that doesn't motivate you, if the smile of your parents and their joy doesn't motivate you to obey, just remember this, that Jesus honored his father. Therefore, be imitators of Christ, and God will bless your obedience. So, kids, to summarize, children, how does Ephesians 6 tell you to live in God's world and God's way in your home? How do you imitate God, walk in love, and honor Jesus? You obey your parents' instruction and honor your father and mother because King Jesus has given them the sacred job of loving you and raising you. You are off the hot seat, which brings us to verse 4 and our next group of people, which are fathers. Yes, parents generally, but specifically Paul's going to talk to fathers here, and I'll explain why in a second. He gave 2 commands to children. He has 2 commands for fathers, and they are, do not provoke your children to anger. And all the children said, amen. The second command, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Notice, this section can be instructive for moms and women too. Other passages throughout the Bible mention mom's roles in parenting, and these commands too in Ephesians 6 are great ways for moms to love and parent their kids well. But Paul changed the word. You see it in your sermon notes there. The word in verse 1 for obey your parents, mom and dad, it's the word ganousin. And here in verse 4, Paul's talking to pateres, pater, patriarch. He's talking to the dads, okay? Why might Paul zoom in on just the dads? Besides the fact that maybe we need some extra help. In Roman and Jewish contexts, fathers wielded basically unlimited authority in the home. Dads were responsible for the discipline, education, and direction of their home. I saw a couple of commentaries mentioned there was a letter written somewhere around these centuries where a father was out of the country and he wrote a letter back home to his pregnant wife. And he wrote something to the effect of, hey, if you have the baby before I get back, if it's a boy, keep it. If it's a girl, I don't want to see it. And he had the authority to command that. Dads were responsible and even charged with the authority over the life and death of the children in the home in the first century in a lot of powerful homes. This is heavy stuff. And so many of us could testify that that kind of authority, that kind of power can transform you from being a dad who holds a shepherd's staff and guides his family to being a dad who holds a sledgehammer. Thus saith the Lord becomes thus saith your dad. It's my way or the highway because I said so. And Paul's saying it must not be so if we are going to be walking in love as imitators of God, our Father. Notice the first command here is not a positive instruction on how to wield authority. It's a negative command on how to cultivate your children under that authority. Or in other words, it's a command for you dads how to be an imitator of God, your Father, walking in love to honor the Lord Jesus. 8 times in Ephesians, God is specifically called Father. Even some of those times he is called your Father. Paul seems to be wanting to remind you, dads, that this title of dad, of father, is shared with you and delegated to you, which means you don't make up your own job description. God is the one who defines what a good dad is. And Jesus did this in Matthew 7. We'll look at this at the end too. But in Matthew 7, Jesus said that God is a good dad, and he wants what's best for his kids. That's what a good dad is. It's therefore delegated to you, dads, to bear that image of God, your Father, in your own home. How do you do it? Paul gives us 2 commands. First one in verse 4 is do not provoke your children to anger. One commentator who is steeped in knowledge of the first century Ephesian Roman context said that this is way more than just like when you play Monopoly with your kid and you laugh at them when they land on Park Place or Boardwalk if you just put a hotel on it, right? And you're just like counting their money, like, and they're crying. This is more than just provoking your kids to anger over accounting in a board game. Okay? It's way, way bigger of an umbrella than that. It includes, and I think this is in your sermon notes, it includes, quote, avoiding attitudes, words, and actions which would drive a child to outburst or resentment. There's the monopoly. It rules out excessively severe discipline, unreasonably harsh demands, abuse of authority, arbitrariness, which just means inconsistency, being inconsistent in your emotions and your rules. It means unfairness, constant nagging and condemnation, subjecting a child to humiliation, and all forms of gross insensitivity to a child's needs and sensibilities. This is a command to dads with a wide, wide range of application. Now, kids do get angry at all kinds of things all the time, rightly and wrongly. But the issue here that Paul's bringing up is that it must not be caused by your own anger, selfishness, cruelty, or unfairness. Beyond the relational strife this can create, dads, this command is so important because it can be a matter of spiritual warfare in your son or daughter's life. Beyond whether or not they'll come home for Christmas in 40 years, it could be a matter of spiritual warfare today for your kids. Do you remember Ephesians 4:27? Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not, what? Give the devil a place. Give no opportunity to the devil. When you provoke your children to anger and they go to bed angry and you're like, oh, they'll learn, it's a life lesson, you may be opening a door for the devil to speak lies to them. Lies about you, lies about your family, lies about God himself as their father. Give no opportunity to the devil. No one in this room, I think, would ever wish that on their kids, but a lot of us open that door. And so raise your kids in the discipline of the Lord, yes. Help them understand the world doesn't always work the way they want, yes. Teach them the important doctrine of the rock and roll theologians, the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want. But teach them to see that their frustration is with the world, the brokenness, the frustrating vanity of this world under the sun, and their frustration is not with you. Let their frustration be a signpost pointing them to the Lord Jesus as the one who will come to make all things new. And one day he promises to wipe away every tear. Do not provoke your children to anger because the world will do enough of that. You, dads, lead them to see God, their perfect Father, through it. Don't provoke your children to anger. Second commandment. Dads, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This one's a positive command and an active command, which is an enormous responsibility. The command is not bring them up in the instruction of the Lord, send them to a Christian school, though I'm for Christian schools, send them to youth group, though I'm obviously for youth groups. This is not delegate their spiritual instruction to others, even professionals. This is, you can do those things, but also in our home, I am responsible for checking on it, for doing it myself, for raising them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This might be the largest responsibility in your life, dads. It's not telling you to become a spiritual micromanager. That'll wear your kids out. It might provoke them to anger. But this command is also telling you that you can't be, to borrow a phrase from Jeremy Johnson at the congregational meeting, you cannot be a butt sitter in your home, dads. And when you start to feel the weight of this command, you are responsible for the instruction of your children in the Lord in your home. This should overwhelm you. It overwhelms me. It's such an enormous responsibility. And I think that's on purpose because I think God wants you to learn that you need help. God made you to lead. God made you to be strong. God did not make you self-sufficient and able to sustain yourself no matter what. God wants you to learn you need help, which this would have been countercultural in the first century and today. Imagine telling a Roman or a Jewish dad or an American dad, tell him to admit that he needs help in his home with his family. But Paul has set the bar so high, I don't know how you do this without help. In fact, if you were to try to hyperfixate on this and white knuckle your home and your children's lives, they will know the Lord, and I will be the best dad, and they will love Jesus, and I will make them love Jesus. If you try to do that, you might be in violation of the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth commandments. Do I need to do the finger thing again? Help your neighbor, all right? This is a big deal. Dads, we need help. And the Bible tells us that there are plenty of things that we can be helped by, and because this is a sermon, I'll give you three. You will be helped by, number one, dads, remembering that God is your Father. Again, eight times in Ephesians, we're told this by Paul. So dads, just like your kids need you, you need your Heavenly Father. You don't have to project strength. God made you strong. You don't need to have all the answers. God made you to lead, not to know everything ahead of time. Your role is to project in your family dependence. Show your family what it is for someone to need their dad. Model prayer to your family. Model repentance and humility to your family. Honor in your home. Model honor in your home. It's great to do this with your spouse, husbands, dads. Honoring your wife in front of your kids, showing them what honor looks like because you are God's child yourself. And because God is a good dad, he'll give you what you need. Because dads, God loves you. That's the first thing you'll be helped by, is that you have a Heavenly Father who loves to do good things for his kids, including you, dads. Second thing, you will be helped by depending on the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 3:16, be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Dads, you need the Holy Spirit to parent in God's world, God's way, in God's homes. Because dads, like me, get frustrated. And the Holy Spirit is what will produce self-control in you. Dads get exhausted, and the Spirit is what will produce kindness, gentleness, and goodness in you. Dads need direction, and we will never admit it. Ever. The Spirit will produce patience in you. Dads get selfish. Dads turn inward on themselves. And don't they know how hard I've worked? And they don't, what I deserve, and I'm going to put my feet. The Spirit will produce love in you. For others. God did not design us to lead in his homes in his way without his help, dads. And he stands willing to give it because he's a good dad. So remember your Heavenly Father, depend on the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, you will be helped by partnering with your helper. Genesis 2:18, when God made Eve to be Adam's wife and he brings her to Adam, God calls Eve Adam's helper suitable for him. Moms, women, what an honorable title. A helper corresponding to him, who makes up for his lack, who is strong where he is weak, who complements him and is gifted uniquely to help him lead in the home the way he is commanded to lead. What an honorable title for moms, for wives. Dads, you are not responsible to be dictators. You are responsible to lead. And if you're married, God has given you a good gift, a helper corresponding to you, that you might have a literal voice in your ear who loves your kids as much as you do, and who has very good ideas, even superior ideas, of how to raise your kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So dads, trust your helper in the Lord. Let me land the plane. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 7. And if you don't have your Bible open, or if it's hard to find Matthew, it should be on your sermon note sheet as well. It might be important to end on this note. This sermon and this passage and a lot of the back half of Ephesians is very application and command heavy, which can feel like an added burden sometimes. And so these commands for the kids in the room, these commands for parents, for dads, they aren't always easy. And it's sometimes hard to love our families well, especially when family's messy. We don't have that cookie cutter family, or our house looks nice from the outside, but on the inside it's a little more chaotic. It's hard to love the ones who drive you crazy. Beyond that, not every child in this room feels like they have parents who are honorable. Not every parent, not every father in this room feels like they're doing a good job. And so a higher bar is going to feel heavier, isn't it? So a sermon full of commands and application might not feel like an added burden, or it might feel like an added burden. It won't feel like it's an opportunity for trusting in the Lord and for rest. But I want you to be encouraged by something Jesus said, which I've hinted at so far. It's in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. The Lord Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, to the one who knocks, it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent?" I love this part. "If you then who are evil," this is God's love letter to you, "if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" He's a good dad. He loves to do what's best for his kids and give good gifts to his kids. So to the children in the room, let me encourage you. You are commanded, honor your father and mother, obey them. You must obey these commands. But hear the words of the Lord Jesus too, that your parents are just a reflection, for better or for worse, of the God who made you and loves you perfectly. Do you have amazing parents? Thank God every day for that incredible gift. Not everyone gets that. People would kill for good parents. Don't ever take that for granted. If your parents, even if you wouldn't call them amazing, but they're doing their best to love God and love you, wow. That is grace upon grace from your Heavenly Father, to have parents who raise them, who raise you in his place under his authority. What a gift. But to the kids who maybe have parents who make life challenging for you, hear those same words of Jesus, that what your parents are not giving you, God can. Your parents are not your savior. Your parents are not your God, no matter how they talk to you, no matter what they tell you that you would be without them. God is your savior. God is your God. And one day Jesus promises to make all things new, to wipe away every tear. You need love? He is love. You need someone who understands you? He made you. He knows you better than you don't know you. Boy, does he know you. You need a break? Are you burnt out? Are you tired? You just got done with the school year and you're just like, I need 3 weeks here. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and weighed down, and you will find rest," not just like a nap. You will find rest for your soul. Kids, Jesus loves you more than your mom and dad ever could. And Romans 5:8 says you can take that to the bank. It is proven in that while we were still sinners, God's love was proven for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To the parents in the room, especially the dads, you have commands too. Don't provoke your kids to anger. There's enough of that in the world making them mad. And bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But dads, hear these words from King Jesus too. If you know how to love your kids, if you know how to give your kids what they need, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, Jesus said, how much more does your Father know how to love and provide for you? God has delegated the care of your kids to you, but he is still their father, which means you work for him. And because you work for him, it's his responsibility to give you what you need to do the job. So your job is to seek him, and you will find him. Ask him, and he will provide. Knock, and he will open the door to you. Because if Jesus loved you and gave himself for you, he surely won't abandon you to figure this thing out on your own, to carry out the high calling of parenting your own children. He won't abandon you to that. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for a chance to gather together, to look at it together, and to see and hear from it. And we do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would instruct us from it. And we pray even as we drive home, as we go to lunch, go to dinner, go to work this week, that you would continue applying these truths to our hearts and in our homes. I want to pray for the children in the room, those who are not yet adults, that they would see the goodness you've given them through their parents, that you would help them to be children who honor their father and mother. And I pray that the parents in the room would receive that honor and not see anything underhanded or like their kids are trying to get something from them, but they would receive honor, and that cultures of honor would begin in our homes where we honor one another for Jesus' sake. And for the dads in the room, for the moms too, but especially for the dads, God, you know what we need, and you know our stubbornness. But you know how to get through hard hearts. You know how to get through thick skulls. And thank goodness you do. We need your help, Lord, and we do ask for it, to lead our homes well, to love our wives well, to raise our kids well in the fear and instruction of the Lord. God, we know our dependence. We know our need. Teach us to lean into that and seek you for what we need. Help us to honor Jesus this week in our homes and in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.